Magna Story Sound presents an unabridged recording of The Lumberjills, written by M.W. Arnold, read by Emma Powell. The moral right of the author has been asserted. This performance is owned by Magna. Chapter 1, August 1942. The cold North Yorkshire wind blew harder than ever that afternoon, and for the umpteenth time since she'd come on sight, Beryl, Berry, Chambers wished she'd worn her pullover and long johns. In between rolling out of bed at ungodly o'clock, stumbling outside to throw some cold water upon her face, and wolfing down a breakfast of eggs and bacon, one of the perks of being billeted on a farm, she'd looked up at the sky and made the wrong decision in wearing a shirt to work with nothing over it. She hadn't even tied a pullover around her waist. She hoped it would be the last time she made the mistake of underestimating how cold it got out in the forest. Something else she hadn't been taught at the training camp in Wetherby. Spitting upon her hands, Berry took up her axe, eyes focused on the base of the tree where she'd made her mark, and swung the axe, then again, and once more, before pausing to catch her breath and wipe her forehead. Another 10 minutes and her wedge was cut. Stepping back, she was joined by her new colleague, Sophie, who waited for Berry to pick up the other end of the crosscut saw. It wasn't anywhere as easy as it had been when they'd been taught how to fell trees. But if it had been easy, then it wouldn't have been worth the challenge. And Berry wanted a challenge. The trappings of inherited wealth had never sat easily on Berry's shoulders, made even heavier by the outbreak of war 3 years ago. For those years, she'd been the good little girl her mother thought she'd brought up, and she'd played her part well. Even as the country lurched from one crisis to another, the most danger she'd ever found herself in was not being able to obtain a new dress for the next society event, which, war or not, there still seemed to be a never-ending requirement for. As months and then years crawled by, Berry had become ever more frustrated with her mother's assertion that by attending balls, opening village fetes, and generally being seen around, she was doing her bit. One by one, the younger staff members of the household had either been drafted or volunteered, and with the exit of each, her sense of self-worth had dipped ever lower. The final straw had come when the house received, as the only point of contact the War Office had been able to find, a telegram notifying the next of kin of the death of an Alwyn Baker. That wasn't the tipping point, though. That came when she had to admit she couldn't place the poor man and had been forced to speak.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?